Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a soggy 50 degrees, drippy, and I don't know, a little bit chilly here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off? Yesterday, we titled the show, guest April Broden. Immunity, deception, and the global petri dish. We had April Broden on yesterday to discuss the new documentary that she is in, that Ty Bollinger put out, as well as vaccination in general and some of the deception and the public opinion that has been put out there that is being spun, the propaganda to try to sell you on something that they don't want you to question. There are other motives behind vaccines as well as all these other technologies that we have been uncovering. Now, before the show yesterday with April, we had taken a little hiatus because of the school vacation and the holiday. So the show before April's was titled Social Engineering, Peer Pressure, Personal Data, and the 21st Century Panopticon. And this ties very directly into the deception that is going on with the global petri dish and immunity, in that social engineering is being utilized across the board to sell us on these quote-unquote newfangled technologies, whether it be your little medical devices or new ways to track your biostatistics to be able to see, just like a dashboard on a car, whether or not you're operating within parameters. But it goes even beyond that. We have this Internet of Things, soon to be the Internet of Everything, that is rolling out before our very eyes. Self-driving cars, I just saw now. Yes, the self-driving cars will be able to communicate between each other. Good old IBM Watson is taking over more industries. He is now offering 24/7 tech support for phone calls. I mean, we are leading to a point here where humans will absolutely be finding themselves on the obsolete end of the stick. We have discussed that at length before. But not only becoming obsolete, but also the grand petri dish. I think that's what we should change it to. The chessboard has since become the petri dish. And as part of this global petri dish, we are just being sold a bill of goods that this is natural. This is the future of human evolution. This is going to be what saves us all from ourselves. Are accepting these new technologies. Anyone who is against these new technologies is against advancement, is against the human race. And guys, that is not the case. We are being tricked. The dopamine button, bzz, 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 bzz. And the other one is the oxytocin button. And I think that that is where they play on mothers, especially with this vaccine issue, is that oxytocin button. I watched a few interviews over my vacation last week, which really wasn't a vacation. So don't let me fool you. Like I said yesterday, it was a circus. And actually coming back home and doing my show is the vacation. But I'd watched a couple interviews with Annie Jacobson, who is the author of that book that I purchased. I don't purchase books too often, but I was very interested, and I've gotten through, maybe 30 pages of this, like, 800-page book. And of course, I started at the last chapter, but it was called DARPA, the Pentagon's Brain. And she did a comprehensive history of where DARPA came from, how it was developed, what they were involved in. And one of the things that she discovered in her research, she had been following this whole thread of how autonomous weapons were evolving through the DOD and what arguments were being had and what committees were discussing them. And she found that some questions came up about whether or not autonomous weaponry was ethical. And I guess there were a couple commissions or discussions about that. And the answer that came out of those discussions was that autonomous killer robots couldn't have ethics because they don't have morals. And she tried to dig up any more on the topic, and she hit a dead end. There was nothing, nothing at all after that that she could find that was unclassified. There was nothing out there. But right around the same time that trail dried up, she found some new program, and I don't remember the name of it, but the whole purpose of the program was to study how oxytocin, now remember, we found out DARPA's been doing tons of experiments on dopamine to cure Parkinson's disease and trying to fix PTSD and all these other things. Part of this super soldier program, which in this one interview, the Sandy Jacobson, the author of that DARPA, the Pentagon's Brain, she had also even mentioned the super soldier program. I mean, we've pretty much documented a lot of the different bits and pieces, even the exoskeletons that will be able to be the monitoring network for the biostatistics of the soldier, who can then be manipulated and controlled from a dashboard at a central location. So this is what this is all about. This is what integrating technology into every facet of our lives is about. This panopticon that we talked about back on April 14th, this panopticon is a full spectrum surveillance from every aspect. Back when panopticons first were envisioned, I had been reading that it was back in like a prison setup where you'd have the central tower with 360-degree windows, and then everyone that you were monitoring would be down below, but you would have a full view of what was going on. It has gotten beyond that now. We've gotten to endpoint surveillance, just like back in my engineering days when I was configuring networks. You know, once you get all the bits and pieces set up, and especially if it was a larger network, you know, home networks are no big deal when there's only one or two or three or five computers, even 10 computers, probably around a couple different rooms. But once you have a network that is a small to medium business with, you know, 50 to 250 computers and then some servers and printers and, you know, then people are plugging USB devices on or cameras, who knows? You know, maybe your surveillance network, your fire alarm network, probably your elevator network. I'm sure they have sensors for that stuff now, that you could see all on a dashboard and be doing real-time monitoring. But then, you know, once you take it out to just even a metropolitan area network where you have 3, 4, 6 buildings, maybe 100, 200, 300 people in each, and servers and printers and everything else, everybody's got either one main internet connection that everyone routes through, or each building has an internet connection, so you got to be monitoring that traffic as well, like I said, in your building systems. And then take that to the global network. So we've built all that out. There's monitoring software for all that stuff. Now push that up to the cloud, because now you can do monitoring right in the cloud. You can even pay someone software as a service, $29.95. Don't need Johnny Duguid, the network administrator, anymore. Now we add things such as IBM Watson. You know, let's see if I can find that quick. Because I had that queued up, and this isn't where I was going to start, but you know, you gotta love Watson. And I've just seen a couple new Watson commercials. IBM has been sponsoring some TV shows. And again, there's stuff out there all over. My dad said to me, probably the second or third day we were visiting, and he put the news on and some commercial came out, and he's like, Jewel, all this stuff. And I mean, how long is it gonna take him to figure out, like, for probably the last 30 years, all the stuff that I spew out, you know, while we're sitting around just discussing things, and, you know, and stuff just comes out. I talk about this stuff. I don't talk about it to everybody, but my dad is one person I talk about this stuff with. And he's like, Jewel, All this stuff you've been saying, I see it. I see it. Everybody's talking about it. And it's true because it really is coming 2014, 2017, fourth month. But 2017 is the year that AI is coming to the forefront. AI is going to become that big eye in the sky that is able to monitor every different facet of our existence. We've documented ad nauseum all the different types of sensing technologies that are out there. And here's something else, back to that Annie Jacobson interview, and I'll link that, though I'm not quite sure which one it was, but maybe it'll be in my history for YouTube. She had talked about some of DARPA's previous missions, and one that I did not know about was their mission in Vietnam. And their mission was to create these portable, though they weren't very portable, they were very large things that they were dropping out of helicopters flying down low, but these portable on the ground, quote unquote, sensors that they would be able to then beam back information to some other helicopter that was flying over that could then beam that information to a central location to be able to tell, and I don't know how much detailed information they had, but to be able to get some idea of what was going on the ground. That was back in Vietnam, so 60s, early, and you know, early 70s as it was spinning down. So could you imagine from 40, 50, 50, I hate to say it, 50, years ago, imagine what they have now, and imagine how small they must be. We've discussed some of that smart dust, Fitbit for the nervous system, that if we get there today, I'll be really surprised. But that's where I want to tip it off so we can spin off some more tomorrow. So anyway, let's talk about some of Watson. One of Watson's new jobs, he is taking on tech support. The robots are going to come take all the jobs. There are more and more commissions that are commencing globally. I just saw Canada is getting ready to roll out their universal basic income experiment. And there are many more other countries that are talking about that as well. What happens when we are all displaced and made completely obsolete by technology that we are fully welcoming into our lives and into our bodies to keep us safe, to keep us healthy, and without question as to what the long-term consequences are. They are manipulating brain chemicals. We found there's many ways that they can manipulate not only brain chemicals, but our thought processes. We looked at a lot of that radio frequency spectrum, some of the new technologies, energy weaponry that sounds like it is bizarro land, science fiction, but it really isn't. That's the scariest part about all this stuff. It really isn't bizarro land, science fiction. This is our reality today in 2017. But as we're accepting all this stuff and manipulated by buttons, whether it be chemical or some sort of manipulation of other means, even through our food and our gut bacteria, direct connect from the gut to the brain. We are tra-la-lying down the path of human 2.0. And I guess the big question is, are we willing to go to 2.0? And if we're not, how do you prevent ingesting or participating or being a part of the panopticon? Because I hate to tell you, this omniscience and omnipotence that has been forming is pretty much complete. It's all in the cloud now, and it's in space. Why do you think DARPA is involved in space? We have all these new space telescopes that we handed over to the Air Force Space Command. Oh, yeah. We have this new surveillance program where we're making sure we know where all of that space junk is. And don't get me wrong, I've talked about that layer on Google Earth, Google Sky before. We could zoom way, way out into space and look at Earth. And it is just disturbing at how much garbage. I mean, I'm embarrassed as a human being, as a matter of fact. How much garbage there is just floating around everywhere outside of the planet. I mean, we look like the trash planet. But don't worry about it, because DARPA and NASA and the Air Force Space Command and everyone else who is responsible for putting things up into space and down again, and soon to be commercial entities such as SpaceX and Blue Origin and some of the others. I don't remember the name of that company, but there's another company that was contracted to make the first commercial mission to the moon for commercial moon mining. And of course, we have the commercial Mars missions that they are working on as well. You know, there is real concern about space trash, but don't believe for one moment that this whole newfound focus on space and around upper space and lower space. Of course, we have this new 5G network that's going in that will also be utilized to triangulate and air traffic control, quote unquote, autonomous drones, delivery drones. But we're also going to have this satellite network, and there is already a massive satellite network, but we are adding to that satellite network with those little CubeSats. And we're plasma bombing the sky to propagate radio frequencies so they could beam further and longer and more powerful. How exciting! But what you need to understand is that all this technology, this is the web in the sky. This is the full spectrum surveillance that the military has talked about for a very long time. And once you get that capability, you get the capability of executing weapons from space. It's one thing to lob some sort of incendiary. But then we started reading about all these new fangled energy weapons, laser beams and heat rays, and all these things that were part of... what was his name? Flash Gordon. Flash. You know, I mean, from crazy science fiction stories, they really are now in development. We even documented back in the Gulf War, maybe even the first Gulf War, implementation and testing real time of this weaponry. Maybe it wasn't space-based. Maybe it was. Maybe it was just from a high-flying stealth vehicle. Who knows? But we listened to a clip somewhere along the way. I read the transcript because I can't get clips to play anymore. Of Rumsfeld and General Myers talking about, yeah, pulling stuff out of the experimental toolbox. And if the need ever arose, that we might consider using experimental weaponry in the fight. I mean, they pretty much admitted that, yes, it had been done, and they might do it again. But guys, where does this get us? This gets us to barbecued heads, face-tracking drones. You know, that was another thing in that interview Annie Jacobson talked about. She was trying to, like, very simply explain the capabilities of autonomous weaponry, and that was one of the things exactly that she said. They could show it a picture of somebody's face and send this autonomous drone out to find and exterminate them. Reminded me of Doctor Who and the Daleks. Exterminate, because that is what our future is going to come to. So then add to that, you know, we have multiple different kinds of the coming of the robots. They're all going to be artificially intelligent to some level of or another, whether or not they are more general AI, which would be your more dangerous entities because they can learn and morph to anything. Then you're going to have your more focused AI, like the ones that just cure cancer, like IBM Watson's cancer module, but we found out that even Watson is a oncologist. Is spreading out his wings. He became a lawyer. Maybe different spinoff of Watson, different install on a box or on a little slice of pie in the sky. But he became Ross the lawyer. He is learning to read genetic scans. He can read a million pages a minute. Now, Watson is offering tech support that never sleeps. This concierge-like service can solve your issues on the spot. If your company uses IBM's help desk services, don't be surprised if you find yourself talking to Watson next time you contact the IT department. Remember, we talked about full network monitoring. Well, we're just going to put Watson in charge. Guys, this really is going scary places. You know, as they are showing more and more how destabilized this global chessboard added petri dish is becoming. And they start to show us how easy it is to socially engineer groups of people, to pit people against each other, to convince people of ideas that they didn't necessarily think was a good idea originally. But hey, plant the seed, make them think it's their idea, and then put a little happy spin on it. Put something that pushes that chemical brain button. That'll get them to tra-la-la along without ever questioning. Push that oxytocin button or that dopamine button or that adrenaline button or that serotonin button. Feel good thrill buttons. Those are the basis of biology, at least for humans, and I'm sure in animals as well. They've cracked the secrets of biology, and they're using them now to manipulate us. But they are also using them to construct these artificial life forms that are becoming truer and closer to versions of ourselves. You know, as they start reconstructing the brain neuron by neuron, which they're working on right now, as part of this artificial intelligence madness that is going on, not just at IBM, but across the board at all the big boys. We've talked about all of them. Google has, I just saw a story the other day. I don't have it up right now, but I'll mention it and we'll find it maybe tomorrow. Google now has two AIs that have a competition going. And that competition is to see who can be smarter than the other one and beat the opposing artificial intelligence, being a smarty pants. And as they beat each other, they learn from their mistakes, just like a child would. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's going to end up good for anybody in the end. We read a study not too long ago that the AIs, I think it might have even been that same experiment, when they were competing, maybe it was a little bit different, but it was very similar. It was two AIs competing against each other, and it was in this virtual world. And when resources, quote-unquote resources, such as virtual food or virtual energy or whatever was abundant, they were cooperative. But the second that those resources became scarce, they decided to kill each other. You know, how insane is that? And, you know, we've read before about ethics, something that Annie Jacobson had looked at that came to a dead end at DARPA in regards to autonomous killing machines. They decided that since robots had no morals, they couldn't have ethics. So we've discussed, though, places like Amazon and Google and Musk and some of the other big boys out there, Hawking. They've all been discussing things such as autonomous weaponry and ethics behind it. They formed a board. They said, don't worry about it. We are going to come up with ethics that will keep us safe. But remember, Elon Musk warned that we would be summoning the demon. You know, once these things become smarter than ourselves, they could even misinterpret a command that we had given them, like to keep humans safe. Might at some point mean that because they can't keep us safe from each other or from ourselves, maybe we're just exterminated. That would be the best idea to keep us safe. It would preserve the safety of the species to only those who don't have, let's say, a violent gene. Let's add to that, as we are teaching AI, in this case Watson, things such as oncology, and as Watson is understanding the very intricate symbiosis that occurs, maybe parasitic would be more the word, between diseases such as cancer and our own cells, as they understand all those mechanisms and find ways to deconstruct and maybe cure those, don't forget the other side of that sword, that they will also be able to reverse engineer the cancer per se and make it even more virulent, as they understand the chinks in the human armor. Now add the next piece to that. As we are databasing millions of people's DNA swabs, 23andMe just got the go-ahead. Finally, the ex-wife of Sergey Brin from Google, who runs that show, 23andMe, just got the go-ahead to offer 10 at-home genetic tests that you can sign up for $99.95. Let's find out whether or not you have a predisposition to any of 1 of 10 diseases. I think we read that the other day, 10 days ago, 11 days ago, about the BRCA gene. Originally, the FDA stood in the way and said, no, 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 we can't do that because then you might get someone to freak out. Even though they're never going to get it, they might overreact. And you are giving, quote unquote, medical advice. So I don't know what the new rules were. I don't know if it really got into detail, but they finally approved it. And one of the reasons that I think it would be in the government and the National Institute of Health's best interest, those who are holding the keys to the mass, all of us program database in the name of precision medicine. The data is being shared, if you check that box, from 23andMe with the National Institute of Health as part of a nationwide ability to understand genomics intricately. And as we set AI such as Watson upon those databases, and as those databases get bigger, and as the data set gives them more and more permutations for them to add to that data set, they get more and more accurate. Guys, we are entering such a dangerous time in the history of everything. And people don't realize that we have just given away the keys to everything. The panopticon has happened. But the panopticon is an exponential panopticon. The surveillance state has taken over every aspect. And you're not even going to believe it. My daughter pointed out a commercial last week of the new smart toilet. Yes, they were advertising for Nana's Health, the smart toilet on TV. She's like, Mom, there's the smart toilet. I've talked about that at home before. I mean, it's happening. It is happening. 2017 is not only the year of AI, but it is the year of Internet of Everything. If your company uses IBM Help Desk services, don't be surprised if you find yourself talking to Watson next time you contact the IT department, and soon to be probably all departments, IBM has added a Watson-powered concierge-like service to its help desk, and it can quickly solve your IT issues around the clock, whether you are in the world, wherever you are in the world, and whatever device you are using. Unlike automated bots, you can talk to Watson about your issues like you are talking to another person. It can then customize its responses. For instance, it can use layman's terms If you are not that tech savvy or tech jargon, if you are, that's frightening. He can like manipulate his personality and his ability to explain things just based upon your level of understanding. It'll also solve your problem on the spot if it's something simple like adding storage to an email account, resetting your password, or ordering a new company phone or computer. And if it's not trained to handle your problem, it'll hand you over to a human IT personnel. However, Watson learns with every single interaction. Ding, ding, ding. Remember, I told you the catch-22 and the joke upon us is as we interact more and more with these technologies, we forget these technologies are learning from that interaction and making themselves smarter. We are, but creating our own destruction. That is the irony of all this. And we are doing it willingly and happily because we think one day Watson will be feeding us grapes and vacuuming and cooking for us. However, Watson learns with every interaction and with every feedback it receives or doesn't receive. It will notice if you've chosen not to answer the survey after each chat. And then it draws from everything it learns. So after some time, transferring you to its human coworker might then become less and less frequent. Richard Esposito, IBM's general manager for GTS Mobility Services, says today, governments, ding ding, and enterprises need to provide an effective set of capabilities to their workforce. Notice he mentions governments. So that their employees can deliver a superior interaction and experience for their ding-a-ling citizens. Guys, I'm telling you, they are setting up this global disaster, this disaster in our government, this turmoil, intentionally. So come around next election or two, they're going to convince us that our puny human brains, our puny human emotions caused faulty decisions in the voting process. And things such as a logical force that can learn, such as Watson or any other big super silicon brain, might be able to make better assertions and decisions based on fact rather than, oh, I don't know, fake news, maybe? Guys, I see a very scary narrative that is being built around what is going on right now. Again, they are crafting a story. They are understanding chemical buttons and how to sway a population using psychology. Problem, reaction, solution. I'm telling you, I predict the solution is going to be super intelligent AI is going to run the show because we aren't capable of it anymore. Idiocracy is taking over, and now they're going to save us from ourselves. So anyway, let's read this again. This IBM general manager for GTS Mobility Services says today, governments and enterprises need to provide an effective set of capabilities for the workforce so that their employees can deliver a superior interaction and experience for their citizens and consumers. We need a system that can understand and communicate in a natural language conversation, one that solves problems and continues to learn while engaging with employees. Our workplace support services with Watson delivers this value. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. So they are looking to take Watson the next step to be able to help citizens, to be able to help employees, to be able to help governments make good decisions and provide helpful solutions to be your cancer doctor and your lawyer. Let's check this out. So there's a story. The Wii had started twice, I believe, 2 weeks ago. But I think we're going to finish today. This is about the surveillance state and how it is encroaching into every bit of our lives. Workplaces are no different. Workplace surveillance is the new office perk. You will remember this one. The snack machine that requires fingerprints. The biometric data and where that goes. Personal codes that need to be punched in to be able to be bag tagged and tracked where you're going, what you're doing, your badge. That is GPS location services. And a little microphone to even be able to record your conversations. There was a company in Norway that was having injection parties for little RFID chips that would be your password and your magic superpowers for your token to get in and out of places and give you the capabilities that you used to have to remember 100 passwords for. Oh, remember, that's too difficult for our brains. Well, maybe all these things aren't such a big deal and nobody seems to think that giving up data to access these things is a big deal. But guess what? It is, because this data is going to places such as third-party companies as to what you eat and where you go and who you're talking to. They potentially could even be going to your employer. Who knows? Because it doesn't say anywhere. And even though maybe snack tracking isn't such a big deal, considering that all these other colleagues around are wearing Fitbits, which are tracking every step and calorie burned, they are now talking about giving you penalties or discounts for the types of things you are eating and how many steps you are taking. And, you know, we've talked about this before, even beyond snack machines with fingerprints to see whether or not you're getting the Cheetos or the granola bar. You know, we've had our store cards, our sale cards, for a very long time. I mean, I know I even might have had one in college, back maybe the end of college, maybe late 80s, early 90s. But they've been databasing everything you buy. Where is that data going? I mean, yeah, maybe the grocery store will use that to send you an advertisement or something. But how about your insurance company? Can they contract that out? They can find out your name is on a list for a grocery store. Pay the grocery store $29.95 for your shopping list every week. How about the life insurance company? Look at, they seem to buy a lot of pizzas and ice cream. Maybe we don't want to insure these people. Oh, how about your 23andMe data that you check that box? And I know they say that data is anonymized, and that's very possibly true. Probably is true. But how about when your health insurance company requires a cheek swab? Part of Precision Medicine Initiative is to have your DNA data so they can see what illnesses you are prone to and what potential genetic anomalies you may have that could be causing your issue. Ding, ding. So once this genetic data becomes a part of your medical dossier, something that has now been electronicized with the Electronic Medical Health Record Initiative, where does that take us next? Well, hey, 24/7 monitoring by the health insurance company that maybe employs somebody just like IBM Watson's help desk that would be very well versed on health care data once he gets beyond his oncology and his genetics. It's got to make you wonder where this is all going to lead to. The grand experiment petri dish is not finished yet. So anyway, what do you consider now that health insurance companies are requiring a full blood workup once a year? That's going to another third-party provider. And if you opt out of that, your insurance gets more expensive. Well, these employees are seeing everything now is like a black box. Nobody seems to bat an eyelash about giving up their data to all of these different third parties around them. And everyone signs up for things such as the blood test because it gives them another coupon. Remember, hand over your data for a coupon, get a Walmart gift card, or get a discount on your health insurance. This is the new office panopticon, a structure built for total surveillance. Your office now may be one too, whether through voluntary corporate wellness programs, smart badges that record voices and GPS locations, or surveillance apps in your mobile phone or personal computers. Americans are offering up more and more personal data at work, and it goes even beyond work. I mean, guys, this is just one example. This is a place that some of us knew we'd been surveilled at for a very long time. Some of us did not. Be aware, if you weren't before, that everything is monitored, even in little chat windows that you think might be private. If it is going out through your employer's data network, it is being surveilled at some point in the string. You know, maybe your 4G on your phone will be sending it out separate through text. But if you are using a corporate phone, it may not be. And even if it was, those records could legally be accessed. Americans are offering up more and more personal data at work. Most of them don't have any idea where much of that data goes or how it will be used in the future. And guess what? There aren't that many limits on what employers can find out about their employees either, or what they can actually do with that data. And the more people who are opting in now for giving up that data, the harder it will be for all of us in the future to opt out of giving that data. That's where I was talking about peer pressure and this whole social engineering component that is being played upon us. It's almost like the Ace of Spades. Hey, you know, the lemmings of the past, if everyone else is doing it, you are typically, statistically speaking, probably going to fall into line so you don't look silly, so you don't look like the oddball out. Regardless of whether or not you have reservations. You know, that Milgram experiment that we've talked about, doing what you're told by an authority figure, even though there are ethical concerns, as long as you offload that responsibility for any damages that may be done in the future to the higher authority, most people will step into line and go all the way. Go all the way to selling out humanity or pushing that button until there is no more reaction on the other side just because they were told to do so by an authority figure. I really think that a lot of these psychological experiments of the past, that they determined some of our chinks in our mental armor as humans to be able to sway us without much debate or fight, are being put into play right now. The short story is surveillance is increasing and the capability to do surveillance is increasing. And like we talked about, they have even taken it now to the level of space where they could see a fly on a car bumper at this point and probably target it within a few centimeters with some sort of whatever energy-based or light-based technology that could influence the behavior of that creature. We had read about optogenetics being utilized on mice as they shone a beam of light onto a certain area of the mouse's brain, and they were able to activate the killer predatory instinct. So that mouse and that mouse's jaws just started chomping, and it would attack and kill anything in its path. That was just by shining a beam of light. And as they're dumping more and more research into the brain and into energy weaponry, and manipulation of the brain and artificial intelligence. Biological technology offices, such as DARPA, the merging of biology and technology, guys. And then add to that the whole back end of all this. And that Annie Jacobson said exactly what I did. Anything that has been funded that is coming out of the war machine, the Department of Defense, even though there are some good consumer things that have come out of it in the end, like Siri or the internet or whatever, the ones they always spin, they are also all done in the name of being part of the killing machine. Wellness programs are perhaps the most common way for employers to gain access to their wants, private health data, and other data of their workers. These programs have flourished over the last few years after a clause in the Bing, Bing, Bing Affordable Care Act, good old Obamacare, I warned you guys, raised the limit on how much money companies could offer in incentives. Let's buy them off and let's get them competing with the Joneses. A 2013 congressionally funded study by the RAND think tank. I think we read this 2 weeks ago. Good old RAND. An military industrial complex contractor. But hey, they just have a think tank of scientists that are coming up with things that don't influence the war machine. No, I did find out again in that interview with Annie Jacobson that there used to be a board of scientists called the Janssen scientists way back even from the 60s that advised DARPA. They would come together in the summer and they would toss over all kinds of hard ideas on how to solve things. And they were scientists from academia, and maybe even a few corporations, but they were all in the name of science. And they'd actually had concerns about a lot of these technologies, and it said so to the military. But as time has gone on, that Janssen Scientist Board has almost been relegated to obsolescence. They've been replaced with, oh, you guessed it, military contractors who are advising on strategies for the future of Department of Defense weaponry. Talk about another fox in the hen house. So they are advising and spending taxpayer dollars to put profit back into their own pockets. And I am sure much of the government representatives who are invested and don't get in trouble for insider trading in the same industries. Do not trust anything that comes out of here. We discovered vaccines included also came out of DARPA, Department of Defense, all in the name of biowarfare. Actually, that is a story that maybe we will hit tomorrow. I found an archive from the New York Times. Some smarty pants investigative reporter actually jumped on Plum Island. And that agreement that Nixon inked that ended our chemical and biowarfare, quote unquote, ended our chemical and biowarfare program. And the offensive stance of developing vaccines to keep us safe. They jumped on that in 1982. Did an expose on how things actually didn't end. So we'll maybe grab that one at a later time so I can finish the story up. It's only taking me three shows. Anyway, in 2013, congressionally funded study by the RAND think tank found that just over half of all organizations with 50 or more employees had wellness programs, but that number has almost certainly climbed since then. Last year, a survey of larger companies by brokerage and consultancy firm Willis Towers Watson, not the same Watson, I don't think, found that a third of them now offered Fitbits or other fitness trackers to their workers, a percentage that could increase by half next year. Another marketing firm estimated that 202 million Americans are already wearing fitness trackers handed out by their employers. For now, this kind of program is voluntary, but participants at this particular company are rewarded with discounts of up to 25%. On their healthcare costs, as well as $250 gift certificates for racking up a certain number of fitness points. How voluntary is it? Asked Li Tian, a senior staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. In a workplace situation, the politics of peer pressure, ding, 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 can combine with pressure from a boss, ding, ding, to make a voluntary, quote unquote, choice less voluntary. And if everyone says, hey, you should be doing this tracking program, it is then no more voluntary than, hey, everyone is contributing to XYZ charity. And that happened to me before when I worked years ago. It was pretty much mandatory, though it was voluntary, wink, to contribute every week out of your paycheck. Or, hey, we're all putting in $1,000 in so-and-so's political action committee. As the monetary incentives for participants rise in value, they start to look more like punitive measures against non-participants. Instead of participate and get a company hat, it is now we will give you $500. There is a study that has been cited that found that more of these, as these incentives increased, the more expensive it became to not participate, and the wealthier segment were the only ones able to opt out of the wellness program. Eventually, protecting employee privacy will be limited to the people wealthy enough who can afford to pay for their own insurance without surveillance kickbacks. But wellness programs, after all, are just one method of surveilling. There are others. There are badges called Humanize that emphasizes microphones in its badges that don't actually record your conversations. But they let the badge analyze things like how often you and the person you are talking to interrupt each other. And we covered this relative to your voice volume and your mood. And remember, they also now can detect illness, and not just physical illness, but mental illness as well, just from 10 minutes of your voice. If you had to wear one of these mood badges, and I just watched a Doctor Who episode. If anyone is a fan of Doctor Who, the new season just started. That is one of the very, very, very few shows, probably the only one actually, that I watch, that I have watched most of the shows. Very enjoyable. But Doctor Who's show this last week, Saturday night at 9 p.m. on BBC America, there were mood badges. You had to wear the moon badges on your back, and it gave a smiley face or a cry face or an eyebrow raised face for whatever emotion you were feeling. And if you were sad because the robots that were running the facility were instructed to make sure that the colonists, because it was on a alien planet, the colonists, their one goal was to keep the colonists happy. So these robots had interpreted that if the colonists' little badge showed that they were not happy, that they must be terminated because they were a contagion to the rest of the colonists' happiness. So what happens when you were unhappy and it was determined that you had to be terminated because your happiness was a contagion to the rest of the facility? The little nanorobot swarms that were making up the actual foundation of the facility launched, I don't know, maybe 1,000 of them out of the pillar up there, and became a swarm that instantly devoured the unhappy individual. And then the bones that were left were taken over to the composting facility to create the healthy fertilizer that was then sprayed upon all of the crops that were being grown in the off-world greenhouse. Now, I got to tell you, I've covered actually a few stories on my personal Facebook page about them growing all kinds of different foods now on conditions that are emulating Mars, potatoes being one. There was a movie, too, with Matt Damon where he got stuck on Mars and had to survive, and he grew potatoes as well. So, I don't know. That Doctor Who episode just kind of struck a lot of chords with me. Because it was a lot of extensions of this technology we're talking about right now. These badges and being able to diagnose your mood and your biologics and having artificial intelligence that are able to process that information. Having them talking about putting AI in charge of a lot of things like your health and helping you at a help desk and eventually maybe your health care. Maybe your government, maybe making your decisions, your police force, your robot army, and even your morphing buildings and things around you, all done with like little nano robots. I just saw in the headlines. I was really surprised that somebody that I know that follows technology posted the story like it was new. But Kurzweil has been wheeled out again about nanorobots in your blood by 2030. And people are just in shock over this. If you've been listening to the show, we knew about that years ago. It is coming, people. All in the name of curing you and keeping you safe. Well, individualized data exists. But individualized data can also be exploited. If data is collected for any reason, it can always be used for other purposes. And employers are not your only threat. Once your data has been generated, it can be requested by law enforcement, sold to third-party vendors, or simply hacked. Especially your biometric data, got to keep an eye on that. And making statements, we don't give data to employers, so it is fine, is not the whole story. There are places out there called human capital consultants and brokers where they can sell information about you to anyone who requests it if it has not been expressly protected. HIPAA laws used to do things like that, but they are whittling away at HIPAA laws in many different ways. And be careful what you ask for, because as that data gets out there, there will be other places that can deny you access to services based upon your profile, whether or not it's your health, your mental, or something else. All right, guys, make sure you stick around, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.